Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Friday, September 8th, 2017. I am Jason Powell, and coming up after the break for non-members, my full review of Thursday's Global Force Wrestling Impact Wrestling Television Show. Hey, before we get into things, if you would like to take part in the 10th annual .NET Pick'em Challenge, it is free to play. The details are available on the main page of ProWrestling.net. We have two different options. You can either pick against the spread or without the spread. Basically, you're just guessing, like everybody else, picking who you think will win the NFL games. We go from now all the way through, I'll say it, the Super Bowl. There's no official tie-in here, so I think I can get away without saying the big game in February. But hey, it's free to play, so take a chance. You don't have to know a ton about football. Just enter your lineup, hope for the best, and yeah, you're one game behind because technically the season started on Thursday. But I guarantee you, there are a lot of people out there like me who picked the Patriots to win and lost that game anyway. So you might be behind a few Chiefs fans in the standings, but that's about it, because I think most of the free world picked the Patriots to win that game, so you're really not even behind if you start now. So sign up before Sunday, because if you don't, then you're really going to be behind. Then it's a work in progress. The prizes for this, we usually give away a couple of .NET memberships for the on an annual basis, one for the winner of each. There are tiebreakers, and then just depending on how many people sign up, we give away additional .NET memberships, and if you are a current member, we do give away membership extensions. So again, free to play, all the details available on the main page of ProWrestling.net. I am here to review the Global Force Wrestling Impact Wrestling Television Show that was taped back in August in Orlando at Universal Studios. It aired on Pop TV, and this wasn't a bad show. I just wish I could have deleted 30 minutes of it, because there were 30 minutes of video packages. All right, they worked in an interview or two, but it had 30 minutes. Like at the top of the second hour, opposed by the first NFL game, they decided to air a whole bunch of stuff from the Triple Mania event. Triple Mania is Triple A's biggest event of the year, and so it's cool that TNA was, or Global Force was, a part of this, but I don't know that I needed this much. And I like the Global Force production work. They do a good job with that. But, I mean, this much together between, like I say, it was mostly video packages on AAA and the Triple Mania event. They tried to tell some stories in there, but it was just too much. It was like, can you get to the ring, please? All right, with that petty grumbling out of the way, let's work our way through this show. We had Eli Drake and Chris Adonis. They were shown entering the studio, and then they showed Matt Sydal. And that's because Eli Drake defended his newly won GFW championship against Sydal in the main event. We had the Impact introduction, and then it was right to the ring for the opening match, which I always appreciate. It was Sanjay Dutt and Petey Williams defeating Trevor Lee and Caleb Conley in 7:26. I'm using John Moore's review as an outline. It is not available live. However, on Friday morning, John's full-length review of the Global Force Wrestling show is available at ProWrestling.net, so if you want to follow along with that, you certainly can. But Sanjay and Petey, good team. I'm curious to see if they stick with Petey as a babyface long-term. I mean, right now, he's a guy, you know, you can see why they would go with him as a babyface. He hasn't been around in a few years. They're doing a good job of putting over that Canadian Destroyer finisher as him. You know, he's the innovator of a move that a lot of people have used. Would he retire for 3 years, was it? And he's back now. But I wonder if long-term, the plan is to develop this friendship between Sanjay Dutt and Petey Williams, and then Petey turns on Sanjay. Just a guess there. I wish they would spend a little bit of time, well, I wish they'd spend a lot of time, kind of developing Trevor Lee and Caleb Conley as a team. Right now, we just know that they're together because they're both from the Carolinas. That's it. They really haven't explained more. They don't get much in the way of mic time, and it's too bad because I think they're a good team. This was a good opener. I enjoyed it. It was Williams hitting Conley with a Canadian Destroyer, and then Sanjay following up with a big splash for the win. The broadcast team was Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews, and they kind of hyped some upcoming events, and they went to a commercial break, and when they came back, right to the ring for another match, and this was a very quick one. It was LAX, Santana and Ortiz, who had Conan and Diamante in their corner. No Homicide, but they beat John Bolin and Zachary Wentz. And this was an all-out squash. And I loved it, because we don't see enough of that. We've seen a lot of LAX being manhandled by Alberto El Patron and his family in recent weeks, months, if you will. So it's kind of nice to get that reminder that, hey, when these two are in there, you know, they can handle their business. They're not just, you know, they're not just going to bump around for Alberto all the time, even though he's, you know, technically not with the company at this time. He's still on indefinite leave or whatever they're labeling that. But still, you know, it's good to see the tag team champions of Global Force looking as dominant as they did. Now, this was more about the post-match than it was the match. The match, very effective, necessary squash, as I said, but they wanted to establish an OVE and LAX feud. So they had OVE come out, and then Conan was kind of mocking them a bit. Dave Crist, which that's one of the OVE members, the Crist brothers, said that LAX claims to be a family, but he and his brother Jake are actually brothers. And he said that he and Jake have been a tag team since birth. And he hears a lot of talk about LAX being the best tag team here. And Dave said since they stepped foot on the scene, OVE is the best tag team in the world, and they were going to prove it by taking the titles. To this point, okay, pretty, you know, cut and dry stuff, no problem. And then Conan ended up calling Dave Pippin and wondered if their tag team name was Ovaries. And then he said the Crist brothers looked like they just came out of a meth lab. He said he dictates the terms for LAX, and he asked the Crist brothers to bring their asses to the Crash promotion in Tijuana to challenge for the tag titles. Called him a couple of fruit roll-ups, and then Dave actually said, Crash sounds like our kind of a place, because Ohio versus everything. Like, what? The Crash promotion sounds like their kind of a place because Ohio versus everything. I don't get it. I still don't understand why the Ohio versus everything name on a television show that they're touting as being worldwide. I don't really understand it. I like the team. I think they're starting to click a little bit. Conan may need to show a little ass with these guys because LAX and Conan are way cooler than OVE. And so, you know, if the idea is that, okay, that they're fine with that and LAX is, go ahead and cheer for them instead of like making them all out heels, well, so be it. But if you're really trying to get OVE over as the baby faces, I think you're going to have Conan pull back a little bit because, he came off way better than they did here. The third match, it was a knockouts tag match. It was the team of Taryn Terrell and Sienna defeating Gail Kim and Allie in 4 minutes and 30 seconds. KM was in the corner of the heels, and Braxton Sutter was with Allie. Late in the match, you had KM try to pull Allie from the ropes, and then Braxton Sutter brawled with him to the back, and then Sienna ended up rolling through Allie's crossbody block attempt and got the win for the heel duo. I don't mind Allie losing here. I really like the Allie character, and I feel like they should have been doing more with her, but her character is that she's still new to this. You know, she went from being Maria Kanellis' personal assistant to now learning how to wrestle. And so I'm fine with the way that she ended up being the one who lost the match for her team. After the match, they ended up Taryn and Sienna were celebrating, and they started putting the boots to the babyface duo. Rosemary ran out for the save. And Rosemary went for an F5 on Sienna, but Taryn pulled Sienna away, and the heels ended up working over Rosemary. Then all of a sudden we got some new entrance music, and it was Taya Valkyrie. She is Johnny Impact's real-life significant other. I don't know the status of their relationship, but she came out, and I guess the idea was that we were supposed to be swerved, that she was going to go after the... She was there to make the save for the baby faces. We're going to go after the heels, but instead she attacked the baby faces. And I didn't really understand why what the need for a swerve was there. It's just like, okay, it didn't really have any effect on the crowd. It didn't really, as a viewer, I'm just like, well, whatever. She attacked. She could have just done that from the start. I mean, we'll see if the idea is to kind of make her like independent from all this, where she's not really aligned with the other heels. Maybe that's why they took the approach. I don't know. But it wasn't a bad debut. I thought the entrance was fine. She kind of has this, like, Ice Queen gimmick kind of thing I don't think they've said that, but that's kind of what I get from it. And we'll see how she does. I think she'll be a solid addition to the Knockouts division. And I did like, it was one little thing, but Gail Kim pulling, I think it was Allie from the ring. It just was a nice touch because we've seen Gail Kim Maybe it was Rosemary. I bet she did. We've seen Gail Kim be so dominant in the past where she's just, you know, beating up three knockouts at a time like it was nothing. And for her to be the one to kind of retreat, pulling Rosemary so the baby faces could retreat, did it just because of her past made it kind of feel like, oh man, this is the baby faces are in a tough position. We had an Eli Drake vignette, and he talked about how he's driving everyone on a rocket ship to the future. And he talked about Jim Cornette bringing in Johnny Impact as his golden boy. And he said he knows Impact is coming for him and might even be outside his front door now. And then he talked about Matt Sydal's spiritual thing, which is a good way to describe it because they don't really define it. It's just, yeah, it's a spiritual thing, I guess. Drake said he was going to give Sydal a ticket on the gravy train, which is his finisher, straight to the nirvana that Sydal is looking for. Then Jim Cornette came out, and we did get a little bit of hype for the Global Wrestling Network. It's going to be the GFW's over-the-top WWE Network-like deal that will be released soon. And long story short on this, he had, he was setting up talking about the main event and everything, and he tried to put over Matt Sydal being a likely title winner, making it seem like, hey, if I'm a betting man, my money's going on a title change tonight, that sort of a thing. So he's trying to sell people on sticking around for the main event. Johnny Impact comes out, and he said he wanted the winner of the Drake and Sydal match. Cornette said he has confidence in Impact, referring to the wrestler, and Johnny said he respects Sydal and would like to challenge him. Doesn't respect Eli Drake, but would like to take Drake to Slamtown, so he's still doing the Slamtown thing that I think he thinks is a lot cooler than most people do. Impact said that he will be the Global Force Champion, or said it would be the Global Force Champion against the AAA Mega Champion, so worlds will collide. Well, this led to LAX coming out. Didn't expect to see this. The idea was that Loki was super pissed. He really thought he was in line for the next title shot. Didn't like that Jim Cornette was just handing it to Johnny Impact. And I thought Loki was great here. He was really showing good intensity. He's, just came off believable. You're watching this thinking like, yeah, you could see this guy being this pissed off about this situation. And Cornette did a good job. He said that LAX and Conan and Loki, they're not discriminated against because of being Latino. It's because but they're also not going to get any favors because they're Latino. And that's when Loki jumped in and started yelling at Cornette. And we ended up with a pull-apart brawl between Loki and Johnny Impact that I thought was well done. And so LAX ends up leaving, and Cornette's kind of like putting his hand on the shoulder of Johnny Impact. And the reason I mentioned that is because coming out of a commercial break, we went from Cornette seeming like, everything was kind of calmed down here, and he was didn't seem upset with Johnny Impact. But then when he was interviewed, or I guess it wasn't even interviewed, he just spoke backstage about the match eventually, and he ended up saying that he hopes they fight to the death. And like, wait a minute, he wasn't mad at Johnny Impact, but now he's mad at both guys? All right. But the idea for this is that we're going to see the two of them have a number one contenders match. And so I like the setup a lot. It just was weird to see Jim Cornette kind of it not be consistent with what you saw in the ring versus how pissed off he was backstage all of a sudden. Then we ended up with the latest on Grado, Joseph Park, and Laurel Van Ness, with Joseph Park kind of working up Grado to tell Laurel that it's not going to work, with the idea being that he needs to marry an American to stay in the country. Well, they were all set to be married, and then he found out she's Canadian, and so now he doesn't want to be with her. And you would think, hearing that, if you're not watching the show, that, man, this Grado guy must be an ass. He's a likable comedic character, so it works. It's just kind of like, yeah, when you think about it that way, it's dickish, but at the same time, you just kind of laugh it off because it's Grado. But Laurel, not so pleased by this, and I really like Laurel Van Ness, the character we saw before she was left at the altar. The character she plays now, this over-the-top one with the Courtney Love look and wrestling in bare feet and a wedding gown or whatever, well, I think it's coming back because she started smearing her makeup, and we got a little bit too over-the-top for my taste production with the camera doing all sorts of weird things and just different graphics and stuff, I guess. I guess we're getting that version of Laurel Van Ness back. Here's the thing. I think there's a happy medium because, I know that like that version of Laurel Van Ness is a lot of fun for some people. I hear about it from readers who like that character. I'd just like to see the character develop more of a mean streak. And what I mean by that is right now she's kind of crazy and she'll wrestle, but she's almost seems like she's semi-oblivious to what's going on around her because they have her, her character is playing this deranged lunatic, whole persona. What if she just developed a mean streak and started taking her frustrations out on opponents, and she was a little more in control or focused, I guess, character-wise, on what she's doing in the ring. So it's not like she's just completely out of it. It's that, yeah, she has, if you want to keep that look, so be it. But there's something to it. It makes her more dangerous in the ring, I think, is one little touch that I think they could add to it. My prediction remains that with Allie and Braxton Sutter having issues, Allie is going to step up and save the day and marry Grado to keep him in the country. Then we went to the first of the Triple Mania highlight video packages. We did get an update on DJZ. They didn't really go into all sorts of details about his injury, but they did kind of focus on him making his return, and we heard from him for the first time in a while. The scars that they showed looked just vicious, so happy to see him back. And Jeff Jarrett was featured several times in these video packages. Andrew Everett was there. Moose, Lashley. Lashley was upset because Moose ended up, I think, eliminating him from a gauntlet battle royal or something that they had. So he wasn't happy about this. And Jeff Jarrett ended up being pissed off because of, they did show you the situation with Sexy Star and Rosemary without getting into too many details. But we did see Jeff freaking out, Jeff Jarrett, that is, and La Parka and the two of them having to be separated. It was fine, except for, like I say, it just kept going. Like they went to a commercial, they came back, and we ended up with more of the Triple Mania highlight package. And then it was like, okay, so this has gone on longer than it probably should. And then by the time this was all over, and like I said, there were some stories told in here, and I will take this over Dan Effin Lambert, the MMA American Top Team facility owner, or I don't know how you what his position is, a very wealthy guy who is suddenly getting a lot of television time in Global Force Wrestling. I'll let you try to figure out why that would be. But he's been all over TV until this week. They kind of pulled back on that, thank goodness. So this was better than that. Good production work, all of that. It just was too much, especially when it's like, all right, it's finally over. Maybe we can get back to the ring, or just get back to the regular, what you would think of for the regular type of show. We got Borash telling us about OVE facing LAX for the tag titles, and it'll take place in Tijuana. So I'm guessing it's something they already have in the can. And then they also aired a Desmond Xavier video package. I'm like, really? We just got done with all this, and so we went from Grado and Laurel to these never-ending Triple Mania video packages into a Desmond Xavier video package. Then we get some hype for the championship match. We get a vignette for Pagano, who looks like the third member of OVE. If you remember, their video packages were kind of out there. They don't really match what they're doing now. They looked almost demonic or something. Well, that's what Pagano was doing, but I don't think he has anything to do with OVE. Then we ended up with some breaking news from Japan that Eddie Edwards won the GHC Heavyweight Championship in Pro Wrestling Noah, and they did put over that Edwards is the first American to win that championship. They went to a commercial break. Then we got a Garza Jr. video pack. You're like, come on. Enough. I mean, by this point, I'm just like zoning out. I couldn't even tell you what Garza said because it was like, all right, another video package. And again, they do a really nice job with production, presumably on a fairly small budget. It's not that. So the production team can be proud of their work. It's just, can we spread these out a little bit, please? Jeremy Borash talked about Congo Kong destroying standby wrestler Richard Justice. He was backstage struggling to do his squats that he does while waiting for a standby match. And Mackenzie Mitchell asked why he's still around. He said Kong hurt him, but you never know when they're you, n you never quite know when they're going to need him. And he said he has to be ready. That was kind of the gist of this. And he went back to doing squats. So that was like, all right, we at least got back to the impact zone, if you will. Well, then it was time for a Matt Seidel vignette. Like, oh my God, you guys, would, come on, please. Just too much. But I mean, he's reborn. He's now transcendent. Turn on, tune in, and take off, he said. I'm kind of bored by Matt Seidel. I hate to say it because I do think he's a talented guy. And he's improved on the mic, but there's just kind of a spark missing there, at least for me. The fourth match, though, was the main event of the show. They finally got back to the ring after all of that. Nearly 40 minutes it took, video packages and vignettes and a brief interview with Richard Justice. We finally got to a match, and it was Eli Drake defeating Matt Seidel in 15 minutes to retain the GFW Global Championship. And I liked the match until the finish, because you had Seidel going up for the airborne finisher, and that's when Chris Adonis got on the apron and distracted him. And as the referee was distracted by that situation, Eli Drake ended up hitting Seidel with the title belt. And then he hit his finisher. And here's what I don't like about it. Yeah, Drake's a heel. And I'm not saying the guy should never cheat to win a match. That's not it at all. But I think it's early enough in this guy's title reign, you want to be establishing him as an in-ring threat. And I say this, I don't want him to be a pest Miz-like heel. And I really like Miz. I think there's a lot of talent there. And I have the same criticism of WWE when it comes to the way they use Miz at times. I like Monday's win over Jeff Hardy. I thought it was a step in the right direction. Miz needs more of that. And Eli Drake as the top guy. You know, Miz is the secondary champion. Eli Drake kind of came out of nowhere to win this championship. He'd hardly been used lately. And when he had, he'd been losing matches. For the most part, you know, it'd been really disappointing. The Drake push has been disappointing since the new regime took over. And obviously, you know, now he's the champion, so the tide has turned. But I don't want to see him be that pest champion. I want to see this guy be positioned in a way where he has in-ring credibility. If he gets in there with a top babyface, you don't think that, the babyface would win, but it's probably going to be some cheating. You know, we've seen enough of that in TNA, Impact Wrestling, Global Force over the years. And it's not just them, but they've done it so many times. Guitar shots, ref bumps, all the crazy things they've done, just, you know, that they've run into the ground, basically. I think it's important for Drake to be a guy that, you know, you don't have to. Basically, you can put him in there with the babyface, and it feels like a showdown match. Not, I wonder if Chris Adonis was going to get involved. So that's how I'd like to see him positioned. It's just as a stronger heel champion that, yeah, he may cheat from time to time. I'm not saying they need to take that away. But right now, I feel like Matt Seidel's expendable. So if they were thinking, well, we need to protect Matt Seidel with this finish, I'd say no. I'd say go ahead and give Drake a clean win and give him more clean wins. You don't want to burn through all the top contenders or anything like that, but give him some clean wins, establish that, hey, this guy's really good in the ring. And what makes him even more dangerous is that, yeah, even if you put him in the wrong position, you know, he may cheat to win. So just give the guy some in-ring credibility, basically, and I think that goes a long way. That's when you start to get those matches that people really look forward to. When, yeah, they're just suspending disbelief, watching, going, I don't know which guy is going to win this match. Not because of cheating, but because, if it's a clean finish, who is going to win? And you don't get enough of that. And I think Drake is a guy they can do that with. And so I hope that that's a direction they will take. But it wasn't a great start on night one, even though I did like, title defense one, even though I did like enjoy the actual body of the match. It just was the finish that kind of threw me off a little bit. By the way, Drake is more popular than Matt Seidel, at least with the Impact Zone crowd, if this was any indication. We did get Jeremy Borash hyping that OVE-LAX match for Tijuana, plus low-key facing Johnny Impact in a number one contenders match for next week's show. I like that. Nice touch. WWE Raw failed to do that on Monday, even though they're going against the annual ESPN doubleheader on Monday night. Crazy to me that they wouldn't advertise directly to their viewing audience. Impact has been doing a really nice job of that more often than not. They are good about telling you, at least giving you something to look forward to. They might not tell you everything. They don't need to, but give you one, two matches or segments, whatever it is, something to look forward to on that next show. And I think it's smart. It makes you, like in this case, I'm looking forward to Low Key and Johnny Impact, especially. I want to see that segment next week. Had they not told me about it or anything, I'd be like, eh, you know, I, I, It just makes it easier to watch football or just, you know, whatever alternatives there are. But if they give you that little hook, it keeps you coming back. That is going to do it for the show. Thank you so much for listening. Please take a moment and subscribe to our podcast if you haven't done so already. Please rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere else that accepts those types of reviews. 5 stars is certainly what we are craving. If you can help us out with that, I would greatly appreciate it. And a big thanks to everybody. When I put out the link on Twitter, those of you who take a moment just to retweet it. Anything you can do to help spread the word about the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast is greatly appreciated. The members today are listening to my Q&A audio show that went up yesterday. Also, the recent Ring of Honor television review. The .NET Weekly audio show. Zach Zimmerman joined me on Wednesday and told me all about his trip to the PWG Battle of Los Angeles tournament last weekend. All the top independent names, or certainly most of them, a ton of them, were on hand, and Zach Zimmerman follows the independent scene very closely, and so it's an education for me whenever I get Zach on the show to discuss the latest happenings in independent wrestling. This was certainly no exception. Plus, we also talk about the GFW, Jeff Jarrett situation, everything going on there. So it was quite the show. I think it was over 80 minutes, and that is available exclusively for the .NET members. If you are interested in membership to the ad-free version of our website and mobile site, visit the main page. Click into the sign-up area. You're going to find 3 different pricing options. And once you do, pick the one that works best for you. Very simple sign-up process. We would love to have you on board. And while you're there, don't forget about the 10th annual free .NET Pick'em Challenge. Until next time, everybody, have a great weekend.